CB Wallet Podcast. I'm Phil Lucas.
And I'm Phil Gerrard. Why are we here, Phil?
Well, we're going to talk about the world's greatest disasters. What went wrong, how it went wrong, and whether it was our fault or God's fault.
Nice one. And remember, Phil, it's not our intention to make light of the sometimes quite substantial mortality rate that is going to be involved with some of these disasters. We're just interested in finding out what went wrong in it. And to be honest, Phil, if it came on the news, I reckon you'd be interested.
I'd be interested. Sometimes I wouldn't go to bed till about 3 a.m. because I'd be so interested.
Absolutely. What are we talking about this week?
This week we are talking about the SS Princess Alice disaster.
Why has this been forgotten? Why does no one know about it? I believe that the reason that this piece of history has been forgotten is because it happened to ordinary working class people. This wasn't a boat full of important people. It wasn't a boat full of royalty or military personnel. There were no heroes. There's no survivor stories that have been passed on for generations. There's no stories of important public figures. This was just working class people having a nice time.
I do want to say from the outset, I don't think this episode's going to be hugely funny.
Okay.
This is a horrendous topic. And it's going to be quite fact-laden.
Okay.
Not fat, fact.
Okay, well, we're here, so it's going to be quite fat. Having read this through, this is a nasty one, isn't it? And it's not a very well-known one.
No.
And we've tried, I suppose, to not really err on the really sort of nasty stuff that happened on this to try, because this is basically a light-hearted podcast.
Yeah.
But I think this is one of the nastiest we've done.
Yeah, and it has to be quite fact-laden to make this up. So bear with us. It's really interesting, but we are going to explain it, and
yes,
it's horrendous as well. So get ready for that. And we'll try and make it as fun as it could possibly be, I think. But I think this is good, right? Because when we started doing this podcast, I wanted to do horrific ones. I wanted to do ones that really made you think and squirm, and you know, because it's not this
all.
Is it?
I think this is it, isn't it? And it's good as well, because I think as time goes on, I think we will be doing more and more nasty ones.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's a good one to ease into the nastier sides of disasters. I'm not saying the ones we've done so far haven't been nasty, but they've been famous.
And you're able to riff around it a bit more.
Yeah, exactly, with things like the Hindenburg or Pompeii or something like that. Even though they're horrible, they're, you know, separated by time, and they don't have the element of ickiness that this one really has.
No. So if over 600 people drowning in turds is your thing, listen on.
I think that's as good a trigger warning as we're going to give you. This does involve nearly 1,000 people drowning in sewage. So, Phil, the SS Princess Alice disaster. What was it?
It was the sinking of the pleasure steamer, the SS Prince Alice, on the River Thames in London, Phil.
Really?
Mm.
Interesting. When did it happen?
September the 3rd, 1878.
How many people died?
As is often the case with these things, not 100% sure, but somewhere around the 650 mark.
Are we going to find out at some point that 650 is like the... that's how many people were allowed on this ship, but actually maybe sort of 2,000 people drowned? Is this another cover-up?
No, this is about right, I think.
Oh, OK,
I think this is... Sorry to dash that.
I bet there's some form of cover-up in here, isn't there? There's always a cover-up.
There's issues.
I reckon we should call this World's Greatest Cover-Ups, this podcast.
It is interesting how ultimately every disaster we've come across, there is someone sort of going, hang on, we don't want to be culpable for this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'll have a look around for blame, find somebody, find the patsy.
There was some blame attributed in this, and there were some legal bits, but I didn't bother writing them down.
All right, so where did you get most of the information from this then, Phil?
Well, I've got to say, before we get going, a lot of information for this podcast actually came from another podcast.
Oh,
or certainly,
you've nicked it?
No, I didn't nick it, Phil. I just used it as a basis for my knowledge.
Okay.
So if this topic, SS Princess Alice, does grab your fancy, then I do recommend you check out the Age of Victoria podcast.
Cool.
Which, as it says, is a sort of fascinating podcast. It talks about all things Victorian, and they did one episode on the Princess Alice. You can find that on all the usual podcast players, Age of Victoria, and they're also on Twitter,
At Age of Victoria.
Nice one. I don't think we plug enough other podcasts. We should do that because they might plug us back.
Well, now I have started to finally listen to podcasts.
Oh, brilliant.
After doing about 100 episodes of ours.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm non-stop now.
Yeah, great.
Oh, I've just done 10 episodes of a single podcast.
What's that?
The Rat Line.
Oh, I listened to The Rat Line. Oh, yes, very good.
Otto...
Yeah, when they're rummaging around his boxes at the start.
Yeah,
going,
so good.
Oh, this is my father's swastika. This is fine. No, was it bad before? I don't remember. Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
So
it's
good.
About smuggling Nazis to South America.
Yeah, via the Vatican.
Via the Vatican.
Oh, yeah, man. It's really interesting.
Now that you've listened to podcasts, have you got a greater love for our own podcast? Can you see the quality that we're pumping out?
I tend to stick with the Radio 4 ones as opposed to some gimps in their bedroom.
Okay. We are one up from the gimps in the bedroom.
Yeah,
aren't
we are a studio.
We're in a proper studio.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
You know what I have noticed about the studio this
what?
Morning?
What?
You know the fridge in the kitchen?
Yeah.
That's bigger than my flat.
Yeah, man. I'm starting to get really upset about the state of my life. It's just really bad, isn't it? And I'm turning 40, and it's like you do sort of look around at the place. I do look around the place I live and go, ugh. God, I mean, really, this is unacceptable now. But I can't see a way out because of the decisions I've made 10 years ago. It's terrible.
I know. And this is the trouble. We're too old to start anything new.
Yeah.
Too young to give up.
Exactly. It's a horrible position to be in.
Yeah.
Just got to keep on digging down, hoping you'll find a rich seam. That's literally what I feel like. Yeah, I feel like I'm digging in dirt. And at some point, with this idea that at some point I might hit a seam of diamonds.
I want to find a rich granny who will physically repel me, but I'll stick with her because...
Oh, God, the idea. Oh, I'd love a rich granny, wouldn't you? One of those, or one of those rich old gammons on the old... On the old cars.
On the old cars, yeah. They would normally be men, though.
Yeah, but maybe you could ingratiate yourself. They wouldn't be able... I mean, they're old. They wouldn't be able to... anymore, would they?
Oh, it'd be a lot of huffing and sweating, though.
A lot of huffing and sweating. Yeah. And you probably have to take a little bit of verbal abuse.
No, it's a one-way street.
Okay. Okay. Right. I've never heard of the SS Princess Alice disaster. I'm sure many people haven't. But I assume we can't really talk about it until we find out what that was. Was it a ferry?
Sort of, yes. I'm very glad you brought this up, Phil. The SS Princess Alice was a paddle steamer. Okay, that was
so. I'm thinking Mark Twain.
Yeah, similar kind of, but imagine like British things. They always do it slightly bit shitter, slightly bit smaller.
A crap Mark Twain
paddle steamer.
Paddle steamer.
Yeah. It was, and you know it was a crap Mark Twain one because it wasn't on the broad Mississippi. It was launched on the Scottish island of Bute in 1865.
How the fuck did it get down to the Thames?
Well, that is the beauty of a ship when you've got water.
Oh,
they can sail them down.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So it could go on the sea?
It could go on the sea, yes.
Oh, okay.
It actually, though, spent the first couple of years around Scottish islands, just doing sort of plying its trade.
Tippling are in the Scottish islands!
That's
Scottish
what it did. There. Yeah, not stereotypical at all.
So it came down from Scotland?
Yes. Started up in Scotland. Yep. Was originally called the PS Bute. Do you want the stats of this ship, Phil?
How big was it, mate?
219.4 foot long.
Feet?
Yeah.
I can't do feet. What's that in real world?
Oh, you're not like me, are you?
219 foot. What's that?
Well, it's about roughly 3 foot to a metre.
Right. So what's that?
Divide it by three.
Okay. What's that?
220. What's 3 sevens? 21. They are about 70 metres long.
70 metres long?
That means nothing to me. 219 foot, that means a lot to me.
How many football pitches?
Dunno!
Okay.
Football pitches aren't standard size.
How many Gary Linekers? Football pitches are a standard size.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
They are not.
Aren't they?
No, there's all the football pitches in the Premiership are all different sizes.
Really?
Not sure.
Okay. How big was her beam?
A beam was 20.2 foot wide. Do you know what a beam is?
No.
Widest part of the hull.
So it was quite long, pretty wide. Basically a ship size.
Yeah, a small ship.
Small ship
size. It's
only
171 tonnes.
Is that heavy?
Not really. Titanic was 40,000. That's tiny, though.
It's tiny.
By today's standards.
Really?
Do you know what the biggest passenger cruise ship in the world is?
What?
It's about 230,000 tonnes.
Wow. What? I mean, okay.
I'm quite proud that I'm actually doing this off the top of my head.
That's great.
Proud's probably not the right word for it.
No, I think it's a good word for it.
Your cross-channel ferry, Dover to Calais.
Yeah.
Somewhere around 26, 28,000 tonnes, give you an idea.
Oh, right, okay, so this is tiny.
Oh, it's tiny.
You could pick it up, pop it on a shelf.
Hmm.
Little ship.
Little paddle steamer.
Little paddle steamer.
But, you know, big enough to get about...
1,000 people?
About 1,000 people.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Brilliant.
Squeezed on in the way Victorians didn't need personal space.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, okay. So that's all the dimensions. In 1867, she was sold to the Waterman's Steam Packet Company on the River Thames, who brought her down, renamed her the Princess Alice.
Okay.
She was then sold again in 1870 to the Woolwich Steam Packet Company.
Yeah.
And later, in 1875, to the London Steamboat Company, who operated her exclusively as an excursion steamer.
So is it quite an old ship by this time, Mr. Larson?
So what are we looking at? So it's launched in 1865, 1870, about 13 years. That's
it's
not old.
And it's, you know,
relatively young.
Pretty meaty. Them things can go on forever, can't they?
Oh,
so it's,
yeah,
not like a, it's not like it's an old banger going up and down the Thames.
Hmm.
Quite a sexy new Victorian ship.
Well, funny enough, actually, it was slightly known because when the Shah of Iran came to the UK, he went up and down the Thames on this specific ship.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of became known to some people as the Shah's ship.
Nice.
And had a little crest on it to commemorate that fact. So it wasn't...
it was quite a sexy steamer.
It wasn't a piece of crap.
Okay.
It wasn't a piece of crap.
What exactly is an excursion steamer?
That. Nowadays, Phil, you and I want to go for a day out.
Yeah.
What we do, we drive, wouldn't we, to a bunker.
Yeah.
Or we go to a sex show.
Yeah.
Or the cinema.
Yeah. One of the three. Yeah.
And bearing in mind, in the olden days, this is before kind of railways had really taken on board.
Right.
So...
all shit's happening at the same time at this point, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is Industrial Revolution, so no one knows... You know how, like, when the internet started, no one knew if it was going to be MySpace. No one knew if it was going to be Friends United.
Mm.
And, like, in the Victorian period, a similar sort of thing, doesn't it? No one knows what's going to take off.
Yeah.
And so you get mad inventions, don't you? Like, people attaching pipes to their heads and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Don't know. Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? So I imagine, like, paddle steamers, cars, trains.
Right, yeah. They're all in the mix.
They're all in the mix, yeah. Right?
Nowadays, it seems weird to pick up a boat in London and head off for somewhere out the city for the day. But
unless it's a special episode of Top Gear.
They've got new presenters, haven't they?
Oh, I don't know. It's one of the worst television programmes that's ever been
created. No, I don't like it. It reminds me of bosses in corporate companies I've worked for.
It's every bully you've ever met, isn't it?
Before the coming of the railways, and for a large period after the arrival of the railways, pleasure steamers were a hugely popular way of transporting passengers out of London, you know, so people would get on them and go out to the seaside, maybe to Southend or Margate or something for the day.
Lovely.
Yeah, in 1820, there were 80 paddle steamers or 80 steamers reported to be working on the Thames. So it was people would go on day excursions on boats.
They'd be a big smelly things, though, wouldn't they?
Well, relatively smelly, I suppose,
Because it's what's powering it?
Coal.
So they're shovelling coal into it.
Yes.
And that's turning its big old Mark Twain wheel.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been that smelly. It would
have
been a bit steamy. I
mean, not every passenger steamer on the Thames was a paddle steamer.
Right. So like a speedboat would have like a wood burner. You know, like a fat man and a blue peak cap with a wood burner and a woman he can't afford. Is that true?
No. You're talking out your jukes.
I'm just trying to imagine it. I'm imagining a river with lots of smelly old boats going
up and down.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Essentially.
Women in big hats,
long dresses, thick dresses.
Yeah.
Right, so these steamers, they would pick people up and take them down the river, largely to the estuary towns on the coast. Now, a really popular place was Gravesend.
Okay, so
now,
that's changed.
Absolutely has changed. But at the time, it had something called the Rosherville Pleasure Gardens.
Ooh, sounds
now,
lovely.
I've looked into this, and these were amazing landscape gardens that had all sorts of things in it, like an archery ground, a lake, a maze, a lookout tower, a monkey house, acrobats,
wicked,
a dance hall.
Excellent.
And my favourite, a cave that would have housed a hermit-type actor or fortune teller.
That's a job to have.
That's a day out.
You could have a 9-to-5 in this work, couldn't you, in the olden days?
Mm.
I wouldn't mind playing a hermit type.
Yeah. I'll tell you another thing Rosherville Pleasure Gardens had. It had a bear pit.
Nice.
Where a poor, lonely bear called Rosie would live in that and be stared at and thrown food scraps by the Victorians. I had a look online. There is one single picture of Rosie available, a photograph, and that is a sad and thin-looking bear.
That's horrible, isn't it? It's chained up.
Yeah.
There was one in Leeds, I think, or was it Sheffield, where we used to live, and there was still a bear pit there that you could see pictures of. It's a horrible, horrible
idea. Funny enough, not really in this podcast, but I'm going to make it in this podcast.
Oh.
They actually, archaeology, discovered that bear pit about 4 years ago. Really? Yeah, the land is unused at the moment. It's all demolished.
Yeah.
But they discovered the bear pit and they're trying to preserve it.
Oh, I don't know why. Just cover it over, innit? Or turn it into a comedy venue, eh?
Hey! Anyway, so the fact of the matter is, these excursion steamers were hugely popular, and that is what the SS Princess Alice was. Right, well, I've done my bit. We've got this excursion steamer that's going up and down the Thames.
Yep.
What happened to that excursion steamer on the fateful day?
All right, well, 3rd of September, Phil, 1878.
Etched in the memory.
Yeah, in a day that will live in infamy, or be completely forgotten by literally everybody in this country, the Princess Alice embarked on what was billed as a moonlight trip to Gravesend, which sounds terrific.
Doesn't sound nice nowadays, does it? I imagine if you advertised that now, how many people would book it?
Yeah, I don't know. Come home. Ooh, Valentine's Day is fast approaching.
You'd have about four hipsters who like going to the boring conference every year. Yeah.
You definitely have hipsters going, oh my God, it's like we went on a moonlit trip to Gravesend. It was like so weird. It was routine, Phil. I mean, this is what this thing was, I'm thinking. It's just a routine backwards and forwards thing, right? No one's really paying any attention anymore because it's the same every single day, right? Routine trip from Swan Pier.
I know Swan Pier near London Bridge.
Lovely. Mm. To Gravesend and Sheerness.
Have you ever been to Sheerness?
I have not.
Oh, my God.
What's in Sheerness?
Bleakness and UKIP boaters.
Oh, is it a UKIP-y place? Mm. It's very UKIP that side of the country, isn't
very,
it?
Very, yeah. East London overspill from the war.
Overspill?
Well, a lot of people were bombed out. A lot of people
moved
into Kent. Yeah,
oh, good point. Tickets were sold for £2. £2 wasn't a massive amount of money. It's a bit cheap, actually, that boat ride, I think, to Gravesend. But it put the trip within reach of upper working class and lower middle class families. So now you're saying it's a sort of day saver. It's an off-peak day return saver ticket to London Bridge.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. It was good weather.
Very nice. Went lovely along the Thames. Nice autumnal day.
Mm, lovely. When the boat set sail, and the trip went with no problems. It was on the return voyage where things went bad. So they'd gone out, they'd had a lovely day, ice creams in Gravesend.
Rocherville Gardens, thrown a few scraps to the bears, had their fortune told, and seen a hermit.
Yeah, they'd had a lovely time.
Mm.
I'd imagine a few of them would have had a few cheeky beers.
I think they probably would have done.
Been a bit of a half cut.
Mm-hmm.
Gravesend. I know, I don't like going to Gravesend without getting pissed.
All joining arms together, swaying backwards and forwards in that Victorian way.
Yeah.
With one arm holding a big
flagon.
Flagon of beer, backwards and forwards, all hearty. Good, honest people.
Hail and hearty. If there'd been some Irish people there, they'd probably be doing a jig down on the lower decks. Because we know that's what Irish people do on boats, isn't it? Is that just the Titanic? That's so racist, isn't it, the Titanic?
It is a bit.
That a film. Just diddly diddly. Fucking hell. Right, so they had a lovely time. It was on the way back that things got a bit icky. At about 7:40 p.m, so it would have been dark, or getting dark. The Princess Alice was approaching an area of the Thames known as Tripcock Point.
Tripcock Point.
Is Tripcock Point still there?
Still there, yeah. Just an area of the Thames.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not a million miles from London City Airport. And very near. Do you know all the really sort of brutalist stuff that was in Clockwork Orange? Thamesmead.
Yeah.
Very near there. So that's
I'd
that
love to visit
the Thames.
There.
Yeah, I would.
I think that if it was possible for me to trip over my cock, I would also name the place where it happened. That's where I tripped over my cock, mate. Exactly at that point. So it was at Tripcock Point. At this time, as the evening was drawing in, many families took the decision to retreat inside the saloon or to their cabins below, a move that sealed their fates. At this point, the Princess Alice sighted a Newcastle-bound coal-hauling vessel.
Also known as a collier.
So, big old dirty coal barge.
Big old buffer of a barge.
Called the SS Bywall Castle.
Yep.
It's the SS Bywall Castle, mate.
Big old boat.
The Bywall Castle was a much bigger and heavier ship than the Princess Alice.
Much bigger.
Usually she carried coal to Africa, but that moment of time she had just been repainted at a dry dock and was on her way back to Newcastle empty. Oh, so it was empty. So it wasn't massively filled with coal, so it wouldn't have been, you know.
Still a big ship.
Big ship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big, heavy ship.
Yeah, who was at the tiller of the SS Bywall Castle?
Well, because I've been fascinated by this, I do, actually. Captain Harrison.
Lovely old Captain Harrison.
Mm.
Captain Harrison, your favourite, he was accompanied by an experienced Thames River pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know his name?
I don't, but they know the Thames well.
Oh, OK. The collier was coming down the river with the tide at half speed. So, about half as fast as it could go.
Yeah.
OK. On the bridge of Bywall Castle, Captain Harrison observed the port light of Princess Alice, so he set a course to pass to starboard of her, which is...
Right.
Right. Okay. However, the master... Oh, no, I see what this is. The master of the Princess Alice, 47-year-old Captain William R.H. Grinstead...
That's a Victorian name.
Is, I can imagine him in a very tall hat. Mm. Labouring up the river against the tide, followed the normal Thames waterman's practice of seeking the slack water on the south side and altered Princess Alice's course to port, bringing her into the path of the Bywall Castle. Captain Harrison ordered Bywall Castle's engines reversed, but it was too late. Princess Alice was struck on the starboard side. She split in two and sank within 4 minutes. So... what happened here is that thing that happens in a shopping centre where you go left and they go left, you go right and they go right, and you end up hitting each other.
Yeah.
Just a tiny, easy mistake to make, really. One of them went one way, another one, instead of going, oh, he's that way, he followed the law and went the way that he was supposed to go, and they hit each other.
But normally when we do it, the only thing that suffers is sometimes you might, your Iceland bag might...
split open.
Might split open. Here, there, one of them is in charge of about 700 to 900 people.
That's bad, isn't it? Split in half.
Yeah, there's actually, they actually think it may have been three, but yeah, it just split it straight in half.
Bloody hell.
Because you imagine this Bywall Castle just smacks straight into the middle of it where the Mark Twain paddle was.
Oh,
and
right.
It just, this is a wooden boat, you know, and it just, it's gone.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Very, very quick. In an instant, the water was heaving with people, despite crew members of the Bywall Castle throwing down planks of wood, lifebuoys, and even chicken coops for people to cling to. The heavy Victorian clothes of those in the water dragged them down. Death was inevitable.
Most people couldn't swim in the Victorian era. There was no real thing of swimming lessons.
And they did have big clothes.
Big clothes,
yeah.
And couldn't swim.
That's awful, isn't it? The Bywall Castle's master testified that the cries and struggles from those in the water had ceased after 10 minutes, and that the water then contained bodies and debris. Eesh. This is a really horrible one.
Yeah, it is. This is what amazes me. People don't... we don't know about it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about it. I'm not sort of going, well, I think everybody should remember. No, I didn't have a clue. And it amazed me that this was a massive... disaster. Actually, to this date, this disaster is Britain's most deadly inland waterway disaster.
Wow.
And therefore the worst disaster ever on the Thames.
Oh my God.
Don't know about it.
No one ever knows about
no.
it.
No.
This is the bit that's really horrible. It's about the water. The Thames water is actually, it's still not that nice now.
No.
But at the end of the Victorian period, pretty freaking horrible in
no
that
way
water.
You get a beluga whale in there.
Absolutely not. Unless you pickled it. Now, the water on the stretch of the Thames is particularly unpleasant. One survivor, Mr. Huddard, said later, Phil...
I noticed something very peculiar in the water. Both the taste and smell were something dreadful, something that I could not describe. Having been down to the bottom and having rose again with my mouth full of it, I could give a very good picture of it. It was the most horrid water I ever tasted, and the smell was also equally bad.
Oh... horrible. No surprise either. The water was full of sewage from the northern and southern sewers, which had discharged waste 1 hour previously into nearby Barking Reach.
Barking Reach, just opposite where this happened.
So, literally, they got smashed into by a coal steamer and tipped out into raw sewage.
Yeah, essentially.
Christ. A chemist in 1878 kind of put it into some context. Phil?
When 600 men and women are plunged into a river only a mile wide, it is astonishing that only five or six should have saved their lives by swimming. It is no less astonishing that so many died immediately after immersion. The reason will probably be found in the quality of the water. Close to the site of this dreadful catastrophe are the two great metropolitan outfalls. At high water, twice every 24 hours, the floodgates of these outfalls are opened, and there is projected into the river two continuous columns of decomposed fermenting sewage, hissing like soda water with harmful gases and discharging a corrupt carnal house odour that will be remembered by all who have passed through it on these summer excursions as being particularly depressing and sickening. As sewage, when extremely diluted, say one drop in 10,000, taken in milk or water would induce typhus or other fevers, it will probably be found that when taken in concentrated form like this, sewage is a complete poison as fatal as prussic acid.
I think this might be one of the most horrific ones we've ever done.
It's gross,
isn't
it?
Because that it's the water that they've gone in, right? Mm. And I don't. They're drowning in effluence, right?
Yeah.
That I can't think much worse than that. And this is like the Victorian period, so this isn't like treated sewage. This is raw, just sewage.
Sewage, industrial waste, oh, stuff from abattoirs.
Fucking hell!
Everything just being chucked out raw into the river.
Jesus Christ.
And they had, both those sewers had chucked it out an hour before that ship arrived. So it's gross.
Yeah, that's really, really bad. Yeah.
So imagine, so basically you're ripped in two, you're thrown overboard, yeah. You can't swim, and you're thrown into raw sewage, and it's dark.
Yeah. So what happened afterwards?
For days after the accident, bodies were being washed up all along the stretch of the Thames.
Right.
And being the Victorian era, Thames boatmen were offered a prize, I'm not sure that's the right word, but of 5 shillings for every body that they could recover.
Jesus.
Because we have to remember at this time there was no real river police or coordinated effort. So it was like, well, we've got all these bodies. I tell you what, guys, if you can go out and find them, we'll give you some money for every body you find. So people were going out looking for bodies. And there was another thing they were saying. They reckon that it was used as an opportunity for murderers to dump a couple of people they murdered and just thought, well, we can get away with saying that was part of the crash.
So at this point in history, you could murder someone, drag them down to the coast and get paid 5 shillings.
That there is... talk that
I tell you
happened.
What, it was bloody easier getting a job in the old days, wasn't it? Fucking hell. These days, if you murdered someone and dragged them down to the coast to try and get some money out of it, there would already be 400 people there before you because they're on a fucking WhatsApp group and they know about it and you don't know about it. This is bleak, this one, man.
Really, but it's about to get bleaker, right? Okay. So shortly after the disaster, a diver descended into the water. Now imagine what diving is like in the late Victorian period. Not really.
He's got one of those big iron helmets on, right? Okay, so he's not close to the water, I suppose. That's keeping that out.
It's keeping it out. But he's got no light.
Yeah.
So he's doing it all by touch.
Oh, nice.
So he went down there to kind of make out what was there.
He's feeling for corpses.
He's.
Okay.
Because he reported that bodies, which he found by touch, appeared to be filling the vessel's cabins, and they were all in a standing position, crammed around the exit points, presumably trying to escape when they all drowned and died.
Jesus Christ.
Imagine total pitch darkness. You're just feeling body after body after body in raw sewage in darkness, trying to work out what happened.
That's terrifying, isn't it?
Sturdier people.
They are sturdier people, definitely.
You'd need years of counselling now if you did that.
And what did he do? Just didn't sleep again, I suppose.
I suppose. They didn't really care, did they?
Bloody hell.
He had a job to do.
Absolutely horrific.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed it was, Phil. When the ship was finally raised, piles of bodies were indeed found around the exits.
Christ.
More than 650 people died in this disaster, or certainly around 650, and they reckon between about 70 and 170 were rescued.
No one got out. Pretty much no one.
Very few people, and many of those who were rescued died within the following weeks, in part from the effects of the contaminated sewage. So it was an utter disaster.
Yeah, this is really horrific.
Absolutely horrible.
I'm more surprised at this one not being more famous than the smog. But a smog was something that had happened a lot, and then this is the worst instance of it. Whereas this is just a horrific disaster where people died from drowning in sewage. I wonder why this one isn't more famous. I suppose it's not an easy thing to talk about, is it? People drowning in poo.
No, and I suppose it's just one of those things where people just think, oh, if it's old, there are no living relatives around, people forget. And it's sad because there are disasters we remember.
For ages and ages and ages, yeah.
And this one
has just gone by the wayside for some reason. Right, should we do the aftermath?
Yes, let's do the aftermath, but you can do it.
All right. As the shock of the tragedy turned to anger, Phil,
always happens.
Bereaved family members and local politicians demanded answers. I don't blame them. Why did the ships collide? Who was to blame? Was the Princess Alice overcrowded? The day after the disaster, Coroner Charles Carter, he opened an inquest, while the Board of Trade launched a separate inquiry a few weeks later.
Two inquiries going on.
Why would you need two inquiries?
Because the Victorian era and
belt and braces.
Things are a bit silly.
For 2 weeks, all the inquest jury could do was observe as a steady stream of bodies... Oh, God, thousands of fucking hell. For 2 weeks, all the inquest jury could do was observe a steady stream of bodies as thousands of worried family members filled the streets of Woolwich, gazing at the corpses, searching for missing loved ones. What a pleasing scene that is in the mind's eye. Just people wandering around a thousand corpses just trying to find your...
Puts it in perspective. Not Oliver, is it?
No, it's not exactly
you
Oliver.
You sort of think Victorian era is all sort of Oliver. Yeah, no, you're searching for your dad on a riverbank.
Covered in effluence. The coroner eventually accepted that because there was no passenger list, the exact number of people on board ship and therefore a precise death toll would never be known.
Squeeze them in, innit?
Squeeze them in.
Victorian era.
Buy a ticket, mate. Get on a ship. Get on a fucking ship, mate. We're going to Gravesend.
They reckon about 900 were on it.
Right, because that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah, I bet there was shitloads more on it than... Over the next 2 months, the 19 men on the jury heard hours of evidence, the written version of which was about 5,000 pages long.
Didn't read it.
Could you get it?
I think you can get it online.
Okay, fair enough. On the 13th of November, then the coroner shut them in a room and refused to let them leave without returning a verdict. At one point, a Times correspondent said 11 jury members wanted to bring a manslaughter charge for the lives lost against those in charge of the Bywall Castle, but 12 votes were needed for a verdict to be accepted. Mm. Is that fair?
Well, I suppose you need a cut-off point in anything, don't you?
Yeah, okay. The next morning, the men had finally made up their mind. Their main findings were, Phil...
And this, bearing in mind, we are talking about the coroner's inquest.
Right, okay.
The points were... The Bywall Castle should have stopped and reversed its engines earlier. The Princess
easy
Alice should have stopped and should not have turned astern.
Also easy to say.
All ships on the Thames would avoid collisions if more stringent navigation rules were enforced.
That's fair enough.
The Princess Alice was seaworthy at the time of the crash, but was not sufficiently manned, had more passengers on board than was prudent, and had insufficient life-saving equipment.
Oh.
Absolutely true. Two lifeboats, Princess
Alice. Two lifeboats for 900
people. 900
people. This is the thing. It's actually quite simple, isn't it? You shouldn't have turned left, and you shouldn't have turned left at the same time, right at the same time.
And this is the thing. You could say, oh, it should have had more lifeboats, of course, but it wouldn't have made any difference.
No, because there was no time to get to
No time
Four
to
minutes.
Launch, yeah.
Yeah. It's scary to me that it's that easy, because I still feel like one ship and another ship should just bump into each other and go, be like, sorry.
Like cars can sometimes just go.
It's weird that one sort of ploughed through and smashed the other one to bits.
Mm.
It feels like it should be a bit more Thomas the Tank Engine than that. The simultaneous Board of Trade inquiry, though, Phil.
The other inquiry.
Came to different conclusions.
Mm.
Despite many of the same witnesses giving evidence. Isn't it always the way? Instead of arguing that both vessels were to blame, it said that Princess Alice had not followed waterway regulations and was entirely at fault. I agree with that.
But I think most people did, ultimately.
Because if you've got a set of regulations, you're doing the right thing. It's not their fault. And also, they've got much bigger boat, aren't they? Like the Princess Alice, I imagine, is a bit more zippy. It could have changed courses.
Yeah.
Whereas this massive coal barge is like, it's never going to, it's not like
That's
you can
it.
Whip around.
You set it on course and it goes.
And it goes, yeah.
Well, this is what makes it interesting, Phil, and this is why this bit is very, very important.
Right.
Okay, and it goes some way to explaining here why the two different inquests reached the different conclusions, and I think why the accident may have happened in the first place. I think that the two captains were most likely following two different sets of regulations and guidelines.
Oh, that's bad news.
And that might explain it. At the time of the disaster, there were not uniform shipping regulations in force around the UK.
Okay, that seems like a mistake.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's your first problem. However...
It's a bit like now, where phones all have different chargers.
Yeah, one day we'll realise how stupid that is.
Yeah.
But for now...
Hopefully a lot of lives will be saved that way.
Blame Apple.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was, however, an international standard for steamships at sea.
Yeah.
But that had recently been incorporated into a bylaw for the River Thames. This bylaw, though...
Yeah.
Was still relatively new.
Cool.
So it was frequently ignored by vessels plying their trade exclusively on the Thames.
Fair enough.
Right, do you want to know what this international standard essentially states?
What?
When two ships are heading towards each other, both ships should turn their bows...
Front of the ship.
Towards the starboard side.
The right.
Yep. Thus the ships will pass by on each other's port.
It seems to
me... Left-hand side.
That this is something that should have been sorted out, a thousand years ago.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's mad, isn't it?
It's what side of the road you're driving on.
Yeah, we're sort of talking the era that our grandfathers were being born into. Yeah. Yeah, or great-grandfathers. It's not that long away.
It seems a bit mad, doesn't it? Mm. It's just like, oh, there was a big crash on the M25 because we just hadn't decided what side the road to drive on in it. So we all crashed. It just seems a bit mad.
It's incredible, isn't it? Okay, so this is what the Bible Castle attempted to do. It tried to follow those regulations, but the Princess Alice didn't do that.
Yeah.
And the reason that Princess Alice may not have done that is because although, like I say, that standard was recently bylawed into the River Thames, many of these Thames boats still use the age-old custom of expecting the bigger, heavier ships, which needed deeper water, to stay mid-channel. Yeah. So the lighter ship could turn towards the bank of the river, the part of the river with less tide and current.
Yeah.
It's very complicated, but in other words, the Princess Alice chose to steer towards the side that the Bywall Castle was steering towards.
I think these disasters are, in some ways, the most tragic, and I don't think we've had one of these before, but I think as time goes on, we'll have more and more, and that's like misunderstandings. Like, there are some huge death toll disasters, plane crashes, you know, nuclear power station explosions. They're all from like little human misunderstandings. We're like, oh, sorry, mate. No, I was going to go that way. Oh, sorry, mate. My fault. Millions of people dead. Do you know what I mean? And I think these are the most tragic, which is why this is probably really horrible. Oh, time already.
but I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? With, you know, regulations and things get. It's not often that you can kind of write regulations to try and stop things happening, but most laws and regulations come because you learn by experience. Yeah. You know, accidents made people go, you know what? Horrible things need to happen to get you to a place.
Something very similar to this happened relatively in our lifetime, though, didn't it? On the Thames?
The Marchioness.
Yeah, what was that?
Yeah, it's actually, that's quite a good point. That's quite a similar, Marchioness was a pleasure boat. We had loads of students on it, didn't it?
Yes,
it was,
I think
like,
so.
It was like a party boat, she still
it
get
It was a party
them.
Boat, that's right.
Yeah, and then a big old...
Again, it was like a tanker or something, wasn't it? Just plowed
through it. Yeah, what you call a barge. Yeah. Yeah, similar kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just imagine that and not making light of that because that was horrendous.
Yeah.
But it's a very similar thing, but on a bigger scale.
And they didn't have the poo aspect to deal with.
No.
Which I think is the worst, really bad, is the poo aspect. So what changed after the accidents? Changed stuff, right? Won't happen anymore?
Well, this is the thing, yeah, because obviously concerns were raised in Parliament after this for years and years and years. And changes did come about after this tragedy. Okay, so there were improvements to the sewage system.
Cool.
The adoption of emergency signalling lights on boats.
Seems good.
And the new Royal Albert Dock was built, which is just near where this happened, and the Albert Dock is actually where the London City Airport is now.
Okay.
And the idea of that was that would help separate the heavy goods traffic from the smaller boats.
Oh yeah.
So that all came about because of this accident. The Princess Alice accident also produced a change to the Burial of Drowned Persons Act, which meant that the obligation was on parishes to bury dead persons that had washed up on the shores of their parishes, because previously nobody had to claim responsibility, so bodies just kept floating until somebody decided to fish them out.
Bloody hell.
Because no one wanted to pay for them.
Oh, God. It looks freaking awful being a Victorian, doesn't it?
It's unbelievable, isn't it? And also, at the time of this disaster we mentioned before, there was no official body responsible for marine safety on the Thames. So this disaster kind of helped lead to the formation of the Marine Police Force, who are based in Wapping, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And this equipped them with steam launches, because there was a little force of a few people, but they just had little rowing boats.
It's amazing. You could get away with absolutely anything, couldn't you?
I could have got away with a lot of murders, I reckon.
I reckon so.
Bank robberies.
Anything. Do what the fuck you like.
Mm.
Sounds amazing, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, the trade-off is you could get hanged.
Yeah.
But all you got to worry about is the peelers.
That's true.
There's no CCTV.
I'm not scared of the peelers. I mean, you will die of typhus by the time you hit 37. But...
So changes happened because of this.
Every cloud, innit? It's an ill wind, is what I'm saying.
Mm.
Yeah? Because bad things have to happen for good things to happen after, I suppose.
Well, this is the thing, you know, and if it hadn't have happened then, with this lack of regulation, it would have happened somewhere else along the line, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's good it happened.
No.
But, no.
You just want it to happen once.
Yeah.
Innit? Have something happen once, and you can go, oh, sort that shit out. But you see, if nothing bad happens, then everyone just leaves it.
Mm.
That's like my car. Like, my car is drastically in need of a service. But no lights have gone on. I don't want to pay the money. When the brakes fail, if I survive, then I'll get it seen to. Despite the huge loss of life and changes brought about as a result of the sinking of the Princess Alice, today there are a few clues as to what happened on that fateful evening.
Hardly anything. There's a little bit of it in the Museum of Maritime History in Greenwich.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so weird, isn't it? 120 victims were buried in a mass grave at Woolwich Old Cemetery. I hope I don't get buried in a mass grave.
I don't want to be in a mass grave. I spent my life trying to escape from being with people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to spend my eternity with them.
The only reminder at Tripcock Point, close to where the tragedy happened, is a faded and graffiti-marked information board.
Yeah,
it's
I've
so
seen
sad.
It.
Little, have you seen it?
Yeah, a little tiny bit. I went there. You see, I was fascinated by this disaster that I actually.
So you've seen where it happened?
I went to these places.
Yeah,
yeah. I kept it quiet, but I had a big day out.
Where did you? What does it look like then? Just the Thames, right?
It's just a very boring industrial part of the Thames with a very unappealing footpath and a standard sort of like a council notice board. You know, like you walk along, go, oh, here's the wildlife you can see. You know, those sort of things. Just says, hell, here at this point, this disaster happened. Someone's tagged it.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's
did
nothing.
It have an aura? Did it have a feel?
Well, it did.
Really?
But that's because I knew what I was going for.
I don't think I've ever been somewhere where a lot of people died.
It's weird.
I don't think I've... I can't think of a time where I've been somewhere... Because that's a good old death toll.
You played some big comedy clubs.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely... I've had some deaths. So, Phil, that was the SS Princess Alice disaster of 1878. Was it our fault or God's fault, Phil Lucas?
I think it was our fault, as in human beings, but I think most likely it was the fault of the poor old captain of the Princess Alice, but he did pay for it with his life and the life of all of his family.
So, there we are. Bleak. So bleak. One of the bleakest I think we've ever done. I apologise for that not being massively amusing, but I don't know that there is a way that you can really make people drowning in sewage be amusing.
No.
I think that's the worst we've done.
I think you're right. I agree.
I don't know why. I think it's...
Do you want more facts about it, just to rub it in? They're not necessarily horrible facts.
Yeah, go for it then. Go on.
Right. Princess Alice, do you know who that was?
No.
That is the name of Queen Victoria's third daughter.
Okay.
Bywall Castle.
Yeah.
Named after a castle in Northumberland.
Called Bywall?
Bywall Castle.
Yeah.
That ship incidentally sank itself with all hands off the Bay of Biscay in 1883.
Is that cursed or is that just most ships sink?
I think that's what happened in those days. The captain of the Bywall Castle, old Captain Harrison, my mate, he wasn't on that when it sank because he never recovered his health after the accident, never returned to sea. Man was traumatised.
I bet he was.
And here's a great fact, even though it's a load of old cobblers, a lady who became one of Jack the Ripper's victims...
Oh, I like getting Ripper facts in.
Oh, yeah. Claim that she was a survivor of the disaster.
Really?
Elizabeth Stride, known as Long Sally, said that she was aboard the ship with her husband and two of her children who all died. Evidence suggests, though, that this is probably all bollocks and she was lying.
There's a lot of this about, isn't there? People pretend... Lots of people pretend to be in wars, don't they? Lots of people pretend to be in wars. They want a little bit of kudos, don't they?
You get memorial parades wearing their... I see it on Twitter, they wear their medals and then someone comes up and goes, hang on, I was in that regiment and you're wearing your medal wrong. Why?
Yeah, they out them, don't they?
You twats. Horrible disaster.
A really nasty one.
And it's a shame that we don't think about it, because you just think they're all dead, they're all Victorians, they'd have been dead anyway, different era, everyone was fast, it was all black and white.
Yeah,
but it wasn't.
Is there something to be said about some of these are a bit more fun than others? And this is like a really not fun one.
I felt talking about BBC's El Dorado was a lot easier going than this one.
I don't know. There's some, and maybe this speaks to the reason why it's not so famous. Is that it's just not like, it's just unendingly bleak.
It's horrible. I mean, there was so much. And if you are interested, it is fascinating to look more into. There's so much I couldn't put in this podcast.
Yeah.
If you look at some of the statements of some of the survivors, some of the things they did, there was a guy who, him and his wife, fell into the water. He could swim, so he pulled his wife all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
When he got there, turns out it wasn't his wife, it was just a random woman, and he'd left his wife there to drown.
Oh, God.
There was another one of a police officer who was called from land to come and go out on a boat and help rescue. And when he got there, he helped rescue people, got back on land and realised his whole family were on the ship and had died. And it's just these horrible tales. It's just on and on and on.
In the dark. Cold.
Then you've got the crime stuff about people going out in boats trying to loot from the floating dead bodies, because the bodies floated quite floated a bit quicker because they were so full of sewage and gases that they floated to the top quicker.
Jesus.
It's just so much I couldn't fit in that, and I didn't really want to go on the gory stuff because it seems a bit wrong, but there's loads of it and it is horrendous, this disaster.
Yeah. Jesus. Well, on that horrific note, let's draw a line under it. Mm. But yeah, one of the worst ones we've done. Mm.
One of the reasons I wanted to do it, because it's so little known, and I thought people should know about it.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a really, really interesting one, I think. Mm. And it's so tragic in that it's just a little mistake. Just such a small mistake.
Yeah, just two people steering the wrong direction.
And for reasons as well. Like, he would have reckoned, like, yeah, they go in the middle, I go at the side. Mm. That's how it works. And the other guys, it just seems like such a good-natured, not really that stupid a mistake, really.
Easy to see how it happened.
Yeah. Horrific. Right. Well, what are we doing next week to cleanse the palate?
Crinkly Bottom Theme Park.
Okay, brilliant. Normal service.
Back on track.
In the CB Wallop podcast to be resumed next week. So, Phil, how can people get in touch with us if they want to talk about this horrific disaster we just talked about?
Twitter's a good place. We're at CB Wallop.
Cool.
Go on Facebook as well if you want. Twitter's, if you could. Twitter would be nice. If you did want to leave a review on iTunes for us, that would be so helpful.
We've had some, haven't we?
We've had some, which is very kind. Thank you very much for the people that have. I can't remember off the top of my head the names. I haven't got them written down.
Cool.
But thank you very, very much. We're genuinely chuffed when we saw that. So that was really, really kind of you.
Thank you so much for listening to the CB Wallop podcast this week. We'll see you next time. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.